activity during the day with quiet and dark at night. Soon her body will adjust. Your young baby does not need, nor is her body ready for, a nap schedule until she's roughly 5 to 7 months. Your goal during the first 4 months is to allow her ample opportunities to nap, to understand her sleep needs and how long she can be awake, and to encourage self-soothing. The 90-minute awake span. Because of your baby's strong sleep drive, after the age of about 2 months, she will start to feel drowsy around 90 minutes after waking up. Before this age, she'll flicker in and out of sleep much more quickly. There's a magical little window here when falling asleep is easy. When you've missed the window and she's overtired, she may yawn, pull her ears, rub her eyes, cry, or appear a little wired. At this point, falling asleep becomes difficult because her nervous system is overwhelmed and dysregulated. This 90-minute rule of thumb applies to the start of your baby's day and also to each window of time she's awake after a nap throughout the day. The 90-minute awake span is one of the most successful ways to improve naps and, as a result, all sleep. Sleep begets sleep. One of the most common mistakes parents make is not putting baby down to nap often enough, which results in a chronically overtired baby whose nervous system is overstimulated and who is even less capable of falling asleep. Don't fall into thinking that the longer you keep your baby up, the more easily she'll fall asleep. Many parents assume that their baby is fussy as a result of hunger or boredom, and they try to feed and entertain their baby. Sometimes this is true, but often when your baby is fussy, it's because she's overtired. The 90-minute steps. Roughly 75 minutes after your baby wakes up, for the day or from her last nap, or whenever you see the subtle cues of sleepiness, start a simple, soothing 15-minute nap time routine. At the 90-minute mark, put your baby down. Parents are continually shocked and thrilled by how much this helps. Even if your baby only naps for 15 minutes, the 90-minute rule still applies from the time she blinks awake. Remember this if you're on a stroller walk or in the car and your baby catnaps. Around 2 to 3 months of age, it's common for babies to sleep in short, brief bursts. If your baby frequently catnaps, don't feel as though you must do a full nap time routine before each nap. You might sing her a song while you put her down in her regular sleeping place, take her for a walk, or just put her in the sling or carrier in the house to allow her to doze. When your baby is 3 months and older, the nap time routines become more important. These are earlier, subtler cues for sleepiness around naps. If you look closely, you may start to notice these, but we recommend starting with the mechanical tool of watching the clock. Staring off into space, dazed look in the eyes, reduced activity, less interest in surroundings. The 90-minute rule isn't rigid. You have some wiggle room. Often the first nap of the day can come very easily after only 60 minutes of awake time. Remember that the first nap is often the easiest one to practice putting your baby down a little awake. If you see that your 0 to 4 month old seems tired, even though 90 minutes have not passed, it's best to follow these cues and put her down to sleep. Like everything else, this 90-minute span will grow and change as your baby quickly matures. For the first 3 to 5 months, the 90-minute rule will be very helpful. 90-minute awake span helps Ava with longer naps. Allison, we were struggling with naps. I was putting Ava down way too late, after 2 to 3 hours of being awake, which was way too long for her. I now put her down 90 minutes after she's awake and no more than 2 hours. She's been napping anywhere from 1 to 2 hours, which is a huge difference from previously napping 20 to 40 minutes, especially in the morning. She wakes up around 6:30 a.m. and we have breakfast and play, and around 8 a.m. I know she's tired. I sing her a song as I put her down, and it still takes her 20 minutes of talking and playing in her crib, and then she sleeps. Cat naps. Short naps are really common. Around 2 to 4 months, your baby will be awake for longer stretches. At this point, it's typical for babies to catnap, sleeping for 20 to 30 minutes. Just enough time for you to grab a snack, check your email, or take a shower, but not enough time to do all three. And then your baby pops awake, ready to play again. One reason this happens is that we have to put babies down on their backs to sleep, and they can easily startle and wake themselves up in this position. When your baby comes into a light sleep, it can be more difficult for him to go into a deep sleep again in a back sleeping position. This makes belly sleeping a tempting notion, but remember that research shows putting baby to sleep on his back lowers the risk of SIDS significantly. Soon your baby will be rolling and moving on his own to the most comfy sleep position. Once that happens, the length of his naps will grow to a span of 1 to 3 hours. Remember that even a cat nap counts when it comes to the 90-minute awake span. Short naps may still relieve your baby's drowsiness, enough so that he won't go back to sleep again. It's like a power nap. Where should baby nap? Little babies often sleep better and longer when they're being held or carried. Put a sleeping newborn down on a flat surface and bam, he stirs awake. Nestle him in your arms or put him in a sling and he sleeps for hours. This is common and normal. Your baby doesn't want to be in a motionless, flat environment, but this will change over time. Allow your baby to sleep wherever you feel it works best. Just keep in mind that it's really helpful to have him practice napping in his regular sleeping place too, like his bassinet, co-sleeper, or crib. Aim to put your baby down for a nap in his regular sleeping place at least once a day. Often the first nap of the day is the easiest one to practice this. Napping only in mama's arms. Mana. Evan basically refused to sleep for more than 15 to 30 minutes at a time during the day unless I was holding him. If he was in his crib, forget it. I'd go through all the trouble of getting him to sleep only to have him pop back awake again. Whereas if I put him in the carrier or just held him continuously, he'd sleep for hours. I made it my goal to put him in his co-sleeper for his morning nap, and that way I knew he had at least some practice there. The rest of the time I mostly carried him. That morning nap grew into a nice long one, and eventually he started taking all his naps in the crib. Quick list of nap tips. The 90-minute rule. Your baby will be ready for sleep after roughly 90 minutes of awake time in the morning and after each nap. Watch the clock and start your 15-minute nap routine 75 minutes after her last awakening so that you can put her down at the 90-minute mark. Don't miss this optimal window. When your baby is overtired, it's harder for her to fall asleep. The 90-minute window is adjustable because every baby is different and the span grows over time. Nap time routine. This will be similar to the bedtime routine, but shorter and consistent each day. Don't skip the routine. Be sure to put it into place before your baby seems to need it. The nap routine becomes more important as your baby nears 3 months. Early sleepiness cues. Babies show signs of sleepiness like becoming still or staring into space before they start to yawn and rub their eyes. It's good to know these early cues so that you can start winding your baby down before she's overtired. Feedings. Be creative about getting the recommended number of feedings in. Naps and feeding will naturally be erratic at this age, and it's better to follow your baby's lead and feed on demand. If your baby takes a long nap, don't wake her for a feeding. Just try to make up for that feeding at another time. Room environment. Make the room where baby sleeps dark and quiet for naps. Use blackout shades. White noise, like nature sounds or a low fan, is very calming, especially during the first 3 to 4 months. Cues from you. Give baby the genuine feeling that nap time is a rest time for you as well. Put on a pajama top. Prepare to lie down, even for 10 minutes. If your baby senses your anxiety about all the things you want to accomplish during the nap, she'll have a harder time settling down. Rest versus nap. It's okay if your baby sometimes just rests, happy in her bed, during nap time. Also, a short nap should be perceived as a successful one. Fussiness, the witching hour, and colic. Fussiness and the witching hour. Most young babies have times during the day when they seem uncomfortable, cry, or fuss more than usual. There are lots of possible reasons for this. Immature nervous system, overstimulation, understimulation, hunger, gas, The list goes on. A fussy baby is often a tired baby, though. Remember that little babies can really only be awake for about 90 minutes before they start to become drowsy? And for babies roughly 2 months and older, the 6 to 7 p.m. hour is when they're actually ready for bed. Even if your baby follows these guidelines, she may still feel tired and become fussy as a signal that she's ready to sleep. Put your baby down after every 90-minute span of awake time throughout the day. If your baby is 6 weeks or older and seems to be drowsy and has a longer stretch of sleep in the early evening, consider an early bedtime, around 6:30 to 7 p.m. Many parents notice that their baby becomes extra fussy in the late afternoon and early evening. Some parents can literally set their clocks by when the crying and fussing begins. This witching hour could be a result of baby's accumulated stimulation from the day. Her nervous system and her internal clock are still developing, so she's getting conflicting messages from her own body. I'm tired. No, I'm alert. Sleep, wake. This often means that your baby needs more sleep, but counterintuitively, she may be harder to put to sleep. Your baby can't yet balance and integrate all these bodily signals, and as a result, she may have times when she cries no matter what you do. The witching hour will eventually pass as your baby matures. In the meantime, you can try to take your baby outside for a walk in a carrier or the stroller. The fresh air, distraction, noise, and motion really help. Reduce stimulation like bright overhead lights as the evening progresses. Allow your breastfeeding baby to cluster feed or feed continuously or frequently during the late afternoon. Some babies even need feeding and motion at once during this difficult time. Try breastfeeding while bouncing on a yoga ball or rocking and walking around the house if you can manage these two feats at once. Colic. All babies cry, but approximately 1 in 5 babies, that's really quite a few, 20%, are described as having colic and will cry piercingly and inconsolably for hours at a time, no matter what you do. Colic is often defined by the rule of three, crying at least 3 hours a day, more than 3 days per week, for 3 weeks duration or more. Some have debated this strict definition, as many babies have colic but won't reach the 3 hour crying mark. Colic is the name given to this extreme crying when it's unexplained. There is no identifiable cause, although there are plenty of theories, such as an easily overwhelmed and immature nervous system, or incomplete development of the normal or good bacteria in the gut. A hallmark feature of colic is that not much you try seems to make any lasting difference, and understandably, this can be at turns defeating, depressing, exhausting, and maddening for parents who feel alone and out of control. Definitely call your pediatrician to talk about your baby's symptoms and determine if they fall into the category of colic or if there's something else going on. If it's colic, the good news is that it does get better. In fact, it almost always seems to disappear magically and thankfully by 4 months of age. Babies seem remarkably fine once colic symptoms subside, but often parents are left with an almost post-trauma feeling from the experience. Soothing ideas for the witching hour and colic. If your baby is very fussy or has colic, it may seem like there's no end in sight, but know that things will improve. The biggest priority for you as an exhausted parent is to get the support and empathy you need to get through this incredibly challenging time. Try different approaches, including wearing your baby in a carrier, swinging or bouncing on a yoga ball, using different size bottle nipples, adjusting the diet of a breastfeeding mother with your pediatrician's guidance, giving probiotic drops, applying pressure on baby's belly, giving the baby a warm bath, swaddling, taking the baby outside, playing music, turning on white noise, taking long car rides, the list is endless. Remember, it's not uncommon that the crying will continue no matter what you do. Feelings of helplessness and extreme frustration are completely normal. Get plenty of regular support. Trade off with your partner, hire a babysitter if you can, or enlist a friend or family member to give you regular breaks. Find a new baby group to join. You will surely find someone in the same boat as you, and you will no longer feel alone. Do whatever it takes during this period to try to get your baby to take regular, frequent naps and sleep as well as possible at night. She'll need extra help from you to regulate and get the sleep she needs during this difficult period. And in turn, the payoff will be a healthier and stronger brain and body. There's no reason to worry that a baby who's previously had colic or is very fussy will have a harder time self-soothing and sleeping independently in the long run. These skills may just come a little later, once the symptoms subside. When they do, your baby will surprise you by how quickly she is able to catch up and sleep well. Don't despair. Even though she'll have strong associations to you soothing her, because she truly needs a lot of help, when her symptoms go away, you'll be able to transfer this role to her. Sleep regression. Most parents expect sleep to get progressively better and better in the first 4 months, but if your baby didn't get that memo, you're not alone. Baby sleep is bumpy. It doesn't follow a nice logical path. Sleep improves and then regresses in fits and spurts, a few blessedly restful nights of long stretches, followed by a few nights of repeated wakings. Around 3 to 4 months in particular, many babies hit a rough patch with sleep. Even those who were champion sleepers as newborns sometimes start to wake up more frequently at this age. It can be frustrating and confusing for parents who keep hearing that things get easier at 3 months, only to find their infant wide-eyed at 2 a.m. You can't imagine how many times we've heard moms and dads exclaim about their 4-month-old, "He thinks he's a newborn again." If this sounds familiar, don't worry. The reason for the return of restless nights at this age is probably your baby's rapidly developing brain. In other words, there's a silver lining. The drowsy cloud of the newborn months has worn off, and your baby is leaping forward into a new level of consciousness. She's more aware and capable now. There's so much to do and see and explore. Sleep regression and the cognitive surge. Kara, I was pretty happy since little Alexander was sleeping for longer and longer stretches at night. I was still nursing him to sleep, and I didn't really think it was a problem because his sleep kept improving. Then, at 3 months and 3 weeks, everything changed. After a 4 to 5 hour stretch, he began waking several times a night, wide awake and clearly ready to party. My husband and I were really surprised by this and quickly exhausted, just like we were at the very beginning. We didn't realize how all that nursing and holding him to sleep would become an obstacle to Alexander's sleep as he got older. Eventually, we used the sleep wave to help him practice falling asleep on his own, and his sleep got better again. Review all of the steps in encouraging self-soothing so that you can give your baby space to practice and make it through sleep regressions without developing a new sleep association. This is often really hard with a baby who is over 4 to 5 months, which is why in the next chapter, we'll present a clearer, more structured way to improve sleep for older babies. A common misperception is that sleep regressions always signal a growth spurt, which results in parents adding in more night feedings. Try to avoid doing this automatically, because this is the age when your baby is moving steadily towards getting all of the calories she needs during the day. If you do end up adding feedings, in Chapter 4 we will help you wean baby from these extra feedings. Use your soothing ladder and see if you can help your baby back to sleep with another method, unless you determine she's definitely hungry. The tricky part is that the same awareness that makes for bumpy nights may also make your baby more distracted during daytime feedings. You probably notice her popping off the breast or bottle to check out her surroundings, or feeding for just a few minutes before moving on to a new activity. Move to a calm and low stimulus area, like a dark bedroom for daytime feedings whenever possible, to make sure that your baby gets enough to eat during the day. The novelty of this higher level of awareness will eventually wear off. You will make it to 5 to 6 months, and we'll be ready to help you solve any nighttime dilemma you still find yourself in. Just hang in there through the sleep regressions. They eventually pass. Although sleep regressions are often developmental, if they persist, talk to your doctor to rule out or address medical problems like reflux, ear infections, teething, allergies, and colic. Breast or bottle feeding and sleep. The pattern of your baby's feedings will change during the first 4 months, right along with the rest of her development. This is a period of the most rapid consolidation of nighttime sleep, which means that over time, the frequency of night feedings will decrease, although not always in a linear progression. At this age, your baby will wake up because she's hungry, but she'll also naturally wake up frequently because her nervous system and internal clock are immature. We don't recommend that you purposely try to wean your baby from nighttime feedings during the first 4 months. It's incredibly natural and important for breastfeeding that your baby eat at night, so it's best to follow your baby's lead. In the next chapter, when your baby is at least 5 months of age, we'll guide you through how to wean her from night feedings if you want to. Breastfed babies are not worse sleepers. Neither formula nor solid foods will help your baby sleep. This is a myth. Breastfed babies may be more likely to fall asleep while eating, though, so they can quickly create a strong association between nursing and sleeping. If your baby falls asleep while eating, she's more likely to wake up later and call to you for help to fall back asleep. Feeding at night. 1 to 6 weeks. Doctors recommend feeding your baby 8 to 12 times in the 24-hour period, which usually means every 2 to 3 hours when awake. Your doctor might advise waking your baby to feed if she's slept for more than 4 hours at any time, until she has regained her birth weight, after which time you no longer need to wake her. The most reliable indicator that your baby is getting enough to eat is the progression of her growth. Look for early cues that your baby is ready to feed, such as increased alertness, physical activity, mouthing or rooting, rather than waiting for crying, which can be a late sign of hunger. It's normal for baby's feeding and sleeping patterns to be erratic during these early weeks as her nervous system is still immature. During this time, if you're breastfeeding, it's best to feed on demand rather than trying to impose a schedule for feedings. This follows your baby's development and is the best practice for ensuring your milk supply. It's important to remember that waking doesn't equal hunger. If you've fed your baby within the last 1 to 2 hours and she wakes at night, this is a good opportunity to broaden her repertoire of soothing. On the other hand, if your baby wakes after 3 to 4 hours, or it's a time when she usually feeds, you can move up the soothing ladder quickly, confident that your baby is ready to eat. 6 weeks to 4 months. It's normal to see the frequency of nighttime feedings gradually decrease during this time, as your baby starts to sleep for longer stretches. Your baby's digestive system is becoming more mature, along with the organization of his brain and nervous system, two crucial areas of development directly supporting sleep. Overall, your baby is taking in the same amount of milk, but gradually shifting these calories to the daytime. By 2 to 3 months of age, it's reasonable to assume that 2 to 3 feedings during the night are enough for most babies. By 4 months, 1 to 2 middle-of-the-night feedings are enough for most babies. At this age, if you have fed your baby within the last 1 to 3 hours and he wakes at night, this is a good opportunity to broaden his repertoire of soothing by trying other ways to help him back to sleep. Around 3 to 5 months, it's common for babies to temporarily wake more frequently, ready to play and excited at the novelty of their new awareness. It's natural to mistake this as a growth spurt and to add in night feedings. As you know, babies rarely turn down an offer of milk during the night, so his eagerness to feed is not an accurate indicator of his hunger. Cluster feeding. It's common for babies to feed more frequently during the several hours before bedtime. This is called cluster feeding, and it appears to be a way for babies to soothe and regulate their nervous systems in preparation for the night, rather than being a stocking up of their milk supply. Some parents choose to give a bottle of pumped milk to breastfed babies for their last feeding of the day, as mom's milk supply may be low at this time of day. If you do this, just remember to pump during this feeding time, or eventually it will lead to a further decrease in milk at this hour. Introduce a bottle. If you're breastfeeding, it's really helpful to introduce a bottle of pumped breast milk between 2 and 4 weeks, and give baby a bottle every single day thereafter. If we had a nickel for every parent who stops offering a daily bottle to the baby, figuring the baby has mastered it, only to see the baby refuse a bottle down the road, it's so much easier to give a baby a bottle every day than it is to turn around a refusal. Having your baby well-versed in bottle feeding gives you the freedom to know that other people can care for her and handle her bedtime or nap routine. It allows you a break and gives someone else the experience of feeding, In many families, this becomes a special time for the non-breastfeeding partner to bond with the baby. To prevent overfeeding, keep in mind that most babies don't need more than 5 ounces in one feeding, no matter their age. General tips for introducing a bottle. Select a slow flow nipple so that your baby has to work a bit. This mimics natural pacing and lowers the risk that she will come to prefer the bottle if you're breastfeeding. Hold your baby in an almost upright position while holding the bottle almost horizontal, tipped just enough to fill the nipple with milk. Keep gravity from speeding the flow of the milk, again, mimicking the pace of the breast as much as possible. Encourage your baby to participate by lightly brushing his lips with the tip of the nipple. When he opens wide, place the entire nipple into his mouth so that his lips rest on the base. A bottle feeding should take about 15 to 20 minutes. If it's much faster or slower, you may have to adjust the nipple size and/or the pace of the feed. It's very effective for younger babies and those with colic or reflux to pause and remove the bottle after 12 to 22 swallows for baby to breathe 3 to 5 times. Signs that flow is too fast include wide eyes, splayed hands, gulping, gasping, milk leaking from the mouth, and pulling off the bottle. With a newborn baby, bottle feeding can start small, at 1 to 3 ounces, building gradually to no more than 5 ounces at a time as your baby grows. Enjoy this time together. Hold your baby close, skin to skin when possible. Look for moments to lock eyes and chit-chat or sing a soft song. Tips for helping a baby who refuses the bottle. Not mom. Often the smell of breast milk and all the associations of mom make it much more challenging for a baby to go for the bottle. Dad or another caretaker can sometimes, with patience, find success. Sometimes mom has to leave the room completely. Change the scene. If you've been recreating the familiar place and position used in breastfeeding, try the opposite. Walk around the house or outside, sing, dance, and try different positions. Hold your baby on your chest facing out, or prop her up facing you on your lap. Don't feed your baby when she's lying flat on her back, and never prop up the bottle. Bait and switch. You can try starting out on the breast or pacifier, and then gently switch to the bottle after your first letdown or when your baby is still sleepy and relaxed. It can also help if she's not ravenously hungry. You might notice that your baby will take a bottle when she's just woken up. Persist. Don't give up. We meet very few babies who truly never take the bottle. As long as parents keep trying, sometimes it takes a month or more. Try once or twice a day, ideally at the same times, and when everyone is relaxed and calm. Your baby will pick up on any pressure or frustration that you're feeling, so breathe, center yourself, and know that with time, persistence, and patience, your baby will eventually take the bottle. Sleep in your milk supply. If you are breastfeeding and your baby naturally drops a nighttime feeding, it's a good idea to pump at the usual time of that feeding for a few nights and then gradually wean from that pumping. An abrupt decline in demand at a certain time can decrease your overall milk supply and cause discomfort for mom. Depending on how much milk your breasts are able to store, you may eventually go for 7 to 8 hours without feeding or pumping. Many moms will pump right before they go to sleep and then either feed or pump again 7 to 8 hours later. Once your baby is sleeping for longer stretches, it's a good idea to add a daytime pumping session in or two if your milk storage volume is on the low side and you're going back to work, for example. Often 30 to 60 minutes after the first feeding of the day is the most productive time to pump. Dream feeding. Although our first choice is to let a baby's sleep unfold naturally, for some babies the dream feed technique works very well. Here's how it works. While he's sleeping, gently pick up your baby from his sleeping place, but don't wake him, and feed him before you go to bed. For example, if you put your baby down at 7:30 p.m., you might try dream feeding him at 10 or 11 p.m. before going to bed yourself. It takes a few days for babies to get the hang of this pattern, but most babies will latch on and eat without fully waking up. If you try this for a few nights to a week, it may help your baby sleep a longer stretch. On the other hand, If you find that your baby wakes up for her next feeding at the same time no matter what you do, drop the dream feed and go back to letting your baby tell you when he's ready to eat. Parent sleep, help in the first 4 months. We dedicate Chapter 7 to an in-depth look at helping parents with children of all ages sleep better. But here are additional suggestions for getting the most shut-eye possible during the newborn period. Rotate. If possible, spread the responsibility for feeding and soothing so each parent gets a turn at a good solid stretch of sleep, even if it's only 3 or 4 hours. Have one parent or helper give a bottle once in a while at night so that the other parent can sleep through a feeding. If you're nursing, pump before going to bed and leave a bottle in the fridge so that person can scoot out quickly and grab it. Enlist help. You cannot do this alone, nor should you try. Hire a babysitter, ask a trusted friend, hand your baby to grandma, call on your support system for help. You may feel as though no one but you is capable of taking care of your baby, but other people will find their own ways. It's worth it to relinquish control for a bit and take care of yourself. It's also a good thing for your baby to develop trust in multiple caregivers. If you're a single parent, try to schedule helpers, family members, or friends on a regular basis to help you through those early months. Separate for sleep. If your home allows, temporarily assign one partner to another sleep space for all or part of the night. Or have one parent take the baby into another room in the early morning so the other one can sleep. Mom or dad might sleep in the guest bed or on the sofa one night or for a portion of the night for uninterrupted sleep. Block noise. The parent brain is easily aroused with the tiniest baby peep, especially for a night feeding mom. So run a fan in the guest room while you or your partner escape there to sleep. Whether you're in the guest bed, living room, or right next to your partner in bed, use earplugs if you're the one off duty. Naps. The traditional wisdom is to sleep when the baby sleeps. We have mixed feelings about this advice. For some new parents, it's a lifesaver. For others, it makes them feel even more disoriented and groggy to sleep during the day. Experiment and see which category you fall into. If you feel like you can't wind down for sleep, or even really rest while your baby is napping or sleeping, you're not alone. It's normal to feel some combination of excitement, anxiety, shock, and fatigue like you've never felt before. This is a good time to begin practicing some simple breathing and mindfulness techniques to help your nervous system come back into a balanced state so your body can rest. You'll hear about these mindfulness techniques at the end of the audiobook. They're also available on the PDF for quick reference. Postpartum emotions. New parenthood is naturally a time of challenging emotional swings from joy at the miracle of your baby to sadness or anxiety at the abrupt loss of the life you knew and the overwhelming tasks of parenting. It's normal to feel that at every turn, you don't really know what to do. The Groundhog Day sense of no end in sight and the mind-numbing heaviness of sleep deprivation. Most parents can identify with the feeling of being moody and blue at the very least. These feelings are normal for all parents. Around 20% of mothers experience postpartum depression, anxiety, or a combination of the two, making it the number one complication of childbirth. It can appear anytime within the first 12 months after birth. Postpartum depression or anxiety can feel like it takes over a mother's thoughts and behaviors in a strong and unfamiliar way, which can make it scary and hard for her to talk about. The great news is that postpartum depression and anxiety are very treatable, with expert therapy, support groups, and sometimes medication. We're happy to see the stigma and secrecy of postpartum challenges fade away as society begins to understand it better. More and more moms are reaching out for help and feeling much better sooner. Sleep deprivation and worry about a baby's sleep can contribute to postpartum issues. We find in our practice that improving both baby and mom's sleep helps moms start to feel better and more like themselves again. Sleep deprivation is not to be taken lightly, and like other features of postpartum depression and anxiety, it is definitely treatable. We'd love for moms to discuss postpartum emotions with their doctors, families, friends, and therapists to determine what level of support they need. If you think you might need support during your pregnancy or postpartum, help and information is available through Postpartum Support International, which is www.postpartum.net or 1-800-944-4773. Troubleshooting sleep. When should I move my baby into her own room? For frequent feedings and bonding during the early months, and also due to the recommendation by the American Academy of Pediatrics that newborns should co-sleep, which is in the same room as the parents but on a separate sleep surface, as a SIDS precaution. Starting out with a baby in your room is a good idea. Since baby's highest risk for SIDS is before 3 to 4 months, a good time to move your baby to her own room is around 4 to 6 months. It's a personal decision that can be influenced by your baby's growing awareness of and activation by your presence in the room, as well as your desire to have personal space back. However, if you, your partner, and your baby are all sleeping well in your room and you have no desire to move her yet, that's perfectly fine as well. Should we have a schedule? Not yet. Your baby's nervous system, circadian rhythm, digestive system, and more are not mature. This is a time in your baby's development to follow her lead, feed on demand, and follow simple guidelines like helping her nap after 2 or 3 months of age, after roughly every 90 minutes of awake time. My baby is rolling to his tummy in bed. What do I do? When your baby first rolls to his tummy in the crib, he will very likely get frustrated and seem unhappy. Really, he's just unfamiliar with the position and might feel stuck and uncomfortable at first. If this happens, you will initially feel compelled to turn your baby over to his back right away, but often this is a losing battle of flipping and reflipping through the night. Trust us, this tummy rolling business is ultimately a very good thing. Help your baby weather this feeling of unfamiliarity by leaving him on his tummy and using the soothing ladder. Work your way up the ladder just as you would at bedtime or with any awakening. This transition is similar to unswaddling, in that you will have a few bumpy nights, but the novelty will wear off, and the end result will be a big step forward to improved sleep. Most babies sleep better once they found their way to their tummies, as their limbs are now contained and the pressure on their bellies is calming. The long-term goal is for your baby to find a comfortable sleep position without your help. Lots of tummy time during the day will help your baby feel more familiar with this position. It can also help to show your baby how to turn his head to one side instead of just face planting. For safety reasons, it's best to always put baby down on his back. Remember that if your baby can roll to his tummy, for safety reasons, it's now time to get rid of the swaddle. 3-month-old flipping to his tummy. Rachel. Wesley kept ending up on his belly, and it made me nervous, so I kept flipping him to his back, even though I knew he'd roll right back to his tummy. I had the feeling that he'd like it better if he got to his belly himself. Sure enough, pretty soon Wesley was rolling to his tummy mid-air as I lowered him into the crib. Is teething waking my baby up? While the normal age range for teething to start is broad, we once had a mom in class who was born with a tooth, and we've also heard of babies who got their first chompers around 14 months. The majority of babies sprout their first tooth between 4 and 7 months. What typically precedes the appearance of a tooth is a prolonged period of drooling, chewing on everything, and a range of very low to mild discomfort and fussiness. It's normal to be unsure whether teething is causing your baby to wake up, if only she could just tell you. If you're noticing extra fussiness during the day and decreased interest in feeding, and you can see little clear or whitish bumps, the bottom, middle, and top teeth in that order are typically the first ones to come in. There's a pretty good chance that your baby is about to cut a tooth. Don't assume that teething is going to bother your baby a lot. Quite a few babies will sail through teething without any significant sleep disruption, while others are noticeably bothered during the night. If your baby is actively cutting a tooth, meaning it's currently coming through the gums, and sleep has clearly been derailed, consider addressing the pain so that he can get a good night's sleep during the 2 to 3 days it usually takes. Talk to your pediatrician about giving a pain medication 30 minutes before bedtime, and make sure you use the correct dose. You can also use homeopathic remedies, or whatever you've found to be helpful. Just be sure to clear this with your doctor. By addressing the pain during the 2 to 3 nights of active cutting, you're helping your baby to get the sleep he needs so that he can better tolerate the pain during the day, without adding sleep deprivation to his plate. It will also prevent you from overhelping him during the night, which can quickly create new unhelpful sleep associations. Acute teething pain usually lasts no more than 2 to 3 days, so try to be aware of not assuming that your baby needs more help at night for weeks because of teething. Babies may have a tendency to take in less milk during the day when actively teething. You can avoid adding nighttime feedings by assuring that they feed well during the day. Teething tip. Give your baby a cold, wet washcloth or gel-filled teether to chew on before daytime feedings. The coolness, avoid the freezer as it can be too cold, can help to numb her gums a bit and up the chances that she'll have a full feeding. My baby will only sleep in a swing, vibrating chair, hammock, or other device. Is that okay? Will he ever sleep in his crib? You've probably heard the term fourth trimester, which refers to your baby's first 3 months out in the world. This term came about as a way of describing how we humans come into the world less mature than many other species due to the size of our brains. This means that simulating the environment of the womb can be extremely helpful for soothing and sleep. And this is why many 0 to 3 month old babies respond so well to rocking, bouncing, and swinging. If these devices work in the first 3 months, use them to soothe your baby and try not to worry too much about the future. Remember that during these early months, responding to your baby's cues when she needs your help is key to her feeling that the world is a safe place where her needs are met. At the same time, stay curious about her abilities so that you can discover when your baby is able to fall asleep without the help of these devices. With this mindset, your baby will show you when she doesn't need as much help as before. This early need for movement is finite. It won't last. As their brains mature quickly, babies are ready for the next step and will sleep better without the movement just like we do. One of the most common responses to our sleep approach is, "Wow, I didn't know my baby was so capable." If your baby is still reliant on movement to fall asleep when she reaches 5 months, we will help you change this pattern in the next chapter. My baby is sick. What do I do during the night? Sniffles, tummy upset, ear infections, babies can pick up all kinds of bugs and viruses. As much as we wish we could protect them from all illnesses, we know that exposure to these colds and flus is a big part of what stimulates their immune system to become strong and resilient. When you know that your baby is sick and he wakes during the night, attend to him promptly and do whatever he needs to do to feel soothed and comfortable. This part isn't difficult for most parents. The hard part is giving your baby space again once he's feeling better. You may notice that your baby's sleep patterns are bumpy for a few nights, even after the illness passes. Go back to your methods for encouraging self-soothing and give your baby a little space to show you what he can do now that he's feeling better. It's a good idea to always check with your pediatrician before you give your baby any medications, even those sold over the counter, and make sure that you understand the dosage and directions. Even when your baby is sick, all of the safe sleeping rules still apply, including no pillows or blankets or anything other than their lovey in the crib. Why does my baby take super short naps? Babies evolve from a super sleepy newborn state when naps go on and on to a more aware and conscious state. After this happens, they're more likely to fully awaken when they transition into a light sleep. More babies than not will move to these alarmingly short cat naps of about 30 minutes, anytime between 2 and 6 months of age. Once your baby's brain and body mature even more, and she can roll to her favorite sleep position, her naps will lengthen again. The tips most likely to support your baby's progress towards longer naps are: put your baby down awake, discern your baby's sounds, at the end of a short nap, don't rush in, give your baby plenty of tummy time between naps. Some parents have success using the soothing ladder at the end of a very short nap to get the baby back to sleep quickly and finish their nap. This is always a good idea to try from time to time, as the day will come when your baby is ready to stretch out that nap. In the meantime, during the catnap phase, don't worry and know that it's perfectly normal. Just watch the clock and put your baby down 90 minutes after her last awakening. This is a very challenging time, as your day feels endlessly consumed with naps and feeding and little else. It's fine to have some of these naps take place in the car, the carrier, or the stroller, so that you can get out and walk, do errands, meet friends, or go to a class. Can my baby just nap on the go? As your baby approaches the 3 to 4 month mark, you may notice her having a harder time sleeping when she's out of the house. Again, this is because her brain is developing and her awareness and interest in the world is growing steadily. She is much more curious and stimulated by her environment. And this makes those peaceful restaurant meals with baby sleeping soundly by your side more difficult. The world is just too exciting now, and she needs her familiar cues and non-stimulating environment to fall asleep, just like you probably do. Of course, we all know someone who can fall asleep anywhere at the drop of a hat. There's always a chance you have a baby like that, but it's not the norm. My baby woke up after just 45 minutes of going to bed. Babies and young children often have a brief arousal roughly 1 hour after falling asleep, most likely because they move from quiet to active sleep during that time. If you hear from your baby 30 to 60 minutes after she's gone to bed, it's likely because she hasn't yet practiced self-soothing back to sleep. Try putting her down awake at the beginning of the night or for her first nap and using other steps explained in encouraging self-soothing. If she really cries out, use the soothing ladder to help her. My baby has reflux. What do I do for sleep? The range of reflux symptoms is broad, from the happy spitter all the way to GERD, which is gastroesophageal reflux disease, the most severe form of acid reflux. Always start by working with your pediatrician or specialist, like a pediatric gastroenterologist, to determine the best treatment protocol for your baby. Some doctors may recommend a particular sleeping position for your baby, so talk to yours and review the safest way to help your baby get comfortable for sleep. Depending on the severity and progression of your baby's reflux, with treatment over time, symptoms will subside. You may see sleep development unfold more slowly. The soothing ladder allows you to follow your unique baby, but it may take more time if she has reflux. You might practice putting her down a little awake only once a day or at bedtime until her reflux starts to improve. Your baby may need a lot of help from you during these early months. As long as you stay curious, you'll be ready to take those small steps back when her reflux improves and she's ready to do more self-soothing. Your baby will eventually sleep well, even if her sleep is initially more challenging.
Chapter 4. Baby and Toddler, 5 months to 2 years. Healthy sleep habits. Your baby's sleep. You have a different baby in the house now. She's no longer a tiny bundled newborn, but rather a laughing, babbling, maybe even talking little human being. You can see it in her eyes, can't you? The lights are on. She's engaged and aware of the world around her, thanks to new, more sophisticated activity in her brain's frontal cortex. All of these changes are good news for sleep, because it means her self-soothing capabilities are growing fast. Have you noticed her sucking on her hand or rocking back and forth to calm down? Maybe she's grabbing her chubby feet and popping them in her mouth, turning her head and nuzzling a blanket, singing to herself, or rolling to her belly in her crib. These behaviors are all part of her budding ability to self-regulate. On top of this, her circadian system is now more mature and craves a good regular sleeping schedule. At this point, bedtime and nighttime sleep should no longer feel like a lot of work to you. If you're still hushing everyone within a 1 mile radius, feeding or rocking until your child is in a deep sleep, or tiptoeing out of the room like a ninja parent praying that she doesn't peep, you don't have to do this anymore. It could be you're bouncing or feeding your baby back to sleep multiple times a night, endlessly inserting and reinserting a pacifier, or pushing your toddler in a stroller to help her nap. Whatever it is, at this point, you're working so hard, but the truth is that your baby has become dependent on you to soothe her to sleep when her own body and brain are capable of this job. We know how frustrating this can get. You try and try to help your baby sleep, but you still end up exhausted and feel as though you're doing something wrong. Don't worry, you're in good company. Sleep issues are very common at this age. A lot of babies and toddlers struggle with sleep troubles like being unable to self-soothe and fall asleep independently, waking up in the night out of habit rather than from hunger, needing a parent's presence or a stroller, car, or other device to nap, going to bed too late and therefore not sleeping 11 to 12 hours, waking up too early and therefore not sleeping 11 to 12 hours. If your baby falls into one of these categories, remember that she's probably tired and wants to sleep, just like you do. Fortunately, even though sleep issues can feel like a major struggle, improving sleep is very doable if you consistently follow the right plan. In this chapter, we will guide you through improving sleep for babies ages 5 to 24 months. You'll establish an early and consistent bedtime, a regular nap schedule, and a pattern of self-soothing that helps your baby fall asleep independently and sleep through the night. In this chapter, we'll teach you the sleep wave, a technique for falling asleep independently that you can use with babies 5 months and older, as well as toddlers and even preschoolers. We'll also walk you through how to approach feeding and weaning at night and all of the other common questions and issues you may have. As you listen, keep in mind that the healthy sleep habits outlined in this chapter will improve your baby's sleep right now and also stay with your child for many years to come. An early and consistent bedtime and the ability to self-soothe and sleep through the night. These practices will become the norm, and your child will expect and even want them in place down the road. Why does your baby wake up? Here's a fact. All babies wake up at night. The good sleepers, the bad sleepers, all pass through light sleep and into a twinkle of consciousness during the night as they transition through stages of sleep. You do this too. When you wake up slightly, you might roll over, adjust your blankets, plump your pillow, and drift back. Usually you're not even fully awake, at least not for long enough to remember it the next day. Your sleep feels seamless to you, but in fact, it reaches the border between sleep and wakefulness multiple times every night. When it comes to babies, the difference between the so-called good sleepers and bad sleepers is what they do when they partially wake up. Some roll over, grab their blankets or lovies, tuck their knees under them, and fall asleep again. Others call out for help to be soothed back to sleep. Our main goal in this chapter is for your baby to become a little expert in her own ways of getting comfy, self-soothing, falling asleep, and drifting back to sleep throughout the night without your assistance. One of the main reasons babies signal for help at night is because they're looking for the soothing trick that put them to sleep in the first place. If your baby nods off feeding or rocking in your warm arms and then inexplicably finds herself awake and alone in her crib, you can see why she summons you. Imagine if you fell asleep in your cozy bed, your favorite soft blanket tucked under your chin, and woke up a few hours later blanketless on the living room floor. You'd reach around a bit for your blanket, wonder where you were, and you'd be disoriented enough to fully wake up and try to solve the mystery and get your original sleep things back. That's what it feels like for your baby when she slips into a dream world surrounded by certain stimuli. Your arms, your motion, breast or bottle, and then blinks awake under totally different circumstances later in the night. What looks to parents like their child's sleep problem is often just the result of unhelpful sleep associations. Sleep associations are the conditions under which your child falls asleep that over time she links to the act of soothing and sleeping. Certain sleep associations are good and helpful, but others delay sleep at bedtime or disrupt sleep in the middle of the night because they require the input of mom or dad. If your baby can't recreate the exact soothing method that put her to sleep initially, you're likely to hear from her in the wee hours. If you're still putting your baby to bed already asleep or virtually asleep, this will be the first thing to change in order to improve both her daytime and nighttime sleep. The goal is to put your baby to bed with her as a conscious, knowing participant without any sneaking out or surprises. Bedtime, the cornerstone of good sleep. Bedtime sets the tone for the whole night. The way your child goes to bed will often determine the quality of her sleep overall. If she goes to sleep with you holding or feeding her, she's more likely to look around for you when she stirs at night. If she drifts off with her own soothing methods, rolling, wiggling into her favorite position, nuzzling her blankie or lovey, listening to the rain sounds in her room, she can recreate this anytime she wakes up at night. This is why we focus on bedtime first. Newborns often need to be soothed to sleep, but by 5 to 6 months, babies become capable of taking over this job with some room to practice. After this age, it's important to look at the associations and circumstances around bedtime. You will always help your child with comforting routines, stories, songs, cuddles, and so forth. But once she's in her crib or bed, if there's anything you do that she can't do herself later, you will want to replace this with a soothing method she can be in charge of all night long. Follow safe sleeping guidelines when deciding what to put in your child's crib. Unhelpful sleep associations. Rocking, bouncing to sleep. Breast or bottle feeding to sleep. Swings, vibrating chairs, and other devices. Pacifiers that baby can't reinsert. Music that turns off during the night. Stroller rides or car trips. Helpful sleep associations. Loveys, blankies, stuffed animals for toddlers. Baby rocking back and forth. Nature sounds or white noise all night. Sucking fingers or thumb. Moving into favorite sleep position. Singing or talking to self in the crib. Babies also wake up in the night for feedings. Later in this chapter, we'll help you decide how to approach breast or bottle feeding at night. You do not have to wean your baby in order to improve her sleep. You can work on her self-soothing skills while keeping feedings in place. If you are ready to wean, we will walk you through the steps for this too. As you work on sleep with your baby, remember that all children go through periods of difficult sleep. Think about it. Their brains and bodies are in a constant state of change and growth. Teething, new motor skills, language acquisition, cognitive development, separation anxiety, travel, illness, nightmares, transitioning to the big bed, the list goes on. All of these normal parts of development will disrupt sleep patterns at some point. Working on sleep is not something that you do one time to fix the problem and then voila. If you think this way, you're bound to be frustrated and confused by temporary setbacks. Instead, we're going to teach you concepts and practices that lead to a good, healthy,